In the collect of today's Mass, commemorating the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, we pray, O God, whose providence never fails in the ordering of all things, we humbly beseech thee, put away from us all harmful things and grant us all that may help us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today we honor Saints Peter and Paul, the twin columns on which the Catholic faith and church is built, and we pray by their intercession and God's providence that the papacy may soon be restored and the Catholic Church restored in our lifetime. Because today we suffer from a long line of false prophets, Pope Bergoglio, of course, comes across to the world as a kindly, compassionate, good shepherd. But you know, he was unmasked this past winter in Manila, and that by a little girl shown to be a wolf in sheep's clothing. The 12-year-old asked an innocent question. Lately, of course, Francis has been unusually clear in his heresies. On the plane back from Armenia, he said, well, you know, Luther was right about justification and faith. You don't need anything more than just faith. You don't need good works to get to heaven. And the heretical Armenians who deny our Lord's human nature, well, they're part of the mystical body of Christ, too. Those kinds of statements, of course, lead people to think that one religion is as good as another, and of course lead them into this or that heresy against revealed religion. But during his trip to the Philippines, that was in February, when questioned, the response he gave that's so damaging and designed surely to make people lose faith in God himself. Well, the poor child in question had been abandoned, like so many others today, by her parents and forced into a life of sin on the streets, drugs and worse. And the child asked the supposed Pope how God could allow this to happen to a child. But he didn't explain about sin and sin leading to sin, the purpose of providence in allowing suffering in the light of the gospel and of our Christian duty to alleviate it. Bear ye one another's burdens, today, as St. Paul tells us, as he writes to the Galatians, and so you shall fulfill the law of Christ. Instead, Bergoglio did, I think, the worst thing he could have done. He claimed there is no answer. That's not true. You see, now he's attacking not only God's revelation, but making God, who is truth itself, God who is all good, into some kind of an inscrutably wicked monster. And what better way to push people to lose faith in God, to feel free at the least to question God, or, as people will and they need no encouragement, to get angry with God sometimes, than to assert that there is no answer to the problem of suffering, especially that of an innocent child. Francis gave this girl, at the end of her question, a hug, and that's nice, I'm sure, and then told her and all the audience that, well, the only answer is tears. But that's not true. She deserved an answer to her question. What would you say? Why do children suffer? Why is there pain and evil in this world? It is an important question. It is so important that I was tempted to sink my teeth into it last Sunday when we were considering the goodness of God. It's an obvious objection, and it stops many people in their tracks. It is an important question, but one which the modernists, Bergoglio, but also, you know, Ratzinger before him, and all of the Novus Ordo could never answer because they deny original sin. But all suffering is traced back as to its source to sin. They deny original sin because they are naturalists. They reject the existence of a supernatural order in whole or in part. And thus one commentator on the internet wrote, they're clueless in the face of the harsh reality of sin and its consequences. But St. Paul wrote to the Romans, and it might not be a bad idea for this particular Roman to get out that letter, that death and suffering are a punishment for the disobedience of Adam. And we inherit this. This is original sin. And we add to it on our own, don't we? By actual sin. Now, little children, although born with original sin, have no personal or actual sin, but they are affected by the disorders of nature since man's fall from grace. This is how there is sickness and death in this world. They are affected as well. They suffer from the sins of others, sometimes an incredible selfishness on the part even of parents, and of neglect and of cruelty to a diabolic degree. You could not believe it. And we are obliged by faith, both by the virtue of justice and by charity, to care for them, the least of our brethren, to alleviate their sufferings in the measure possible. But also are we obliged, and nobody talks about this anymore, to provide for their spiritual good. Bergoglio is always going on about preaching the gospel, but he never does. It is our job to see that their souls be saved as well as their bodies. God's providence, you see, fails not, but it fails not because you are part of its execution. This, too, I think, is one more notch in that key which unlocks the mystery of suffering. So our catechism today, what is providence? Providence is God's care in preserving and governing the world. As we saw last week, this should inculcate confidence in God. A little bird doesn't fall to the ground without the will of our Heavenly Father. The very hairs of our head are all numbered. Accidents happen, it is true, but God foresees everything. Remember, the Amish like to say, God makes no mistakes. What men call an accident is really part of God's providence. And when, therefore, what we call misfortune overtakes us, we are meant to look upon it rather as the will of God. Even in the Old Testament, there's Job to give us a wonderful example of that. If there is a providence, then why is there poverty? Why is there illness? Why are there other physical evils in this world? First, physical evil exists partly as a natural result of the imperfection of creatures going back to the rebellion of all of nature, original sin. Secondly, this evil comes partly as a punishment for sin, but also thirdly, to sanctify the good. And fourthly, to detach the hearts of good and wicked men alike from the things of earth. And sometimes that's not easily done. But consider how very often tribulations do serve to bring the sinner back to repentance and thus to save an immortal soul. Sufferings may indeed be a blessing in disguise, because suffering is a fruitful source of merit. The greatest sufferers are the greatest saints. Our blessed Lord, the Man of Sorrows, his mother, Our Lady of Sorrows, the apostles who considered it an honor to suffer for the name of Jesus. The two petitions of the prayer we make today in commemorating the Sunday shows us how God's providence does manifest itself in bestowing on creatures whatever's necessary, whatever leads to our good and our happiness, as we saw last week, and then secondly, in preserving us from the evils that are opposed to our good. Ad noxia cuncta submovias, we pray. But all of this so that we creatures might be guided to our reason for existence, our proper purpose. You see that in animals with their instinct. There's something on the internet about even pea plants being programmed by their creator to grow in such a way as to achieve their proper purpose. And the same thing goes not only for men, animals and inanimate creation, but for nations as well. It's all meant to be ad maiorem Dei gloriam, for the greater glory of God, and thus for man's eternal happiness. They say that every Christian nation has a purpose and existence. One may debate as to whether or not our country is ever or was a Christian nation, but it is a sure thing today that despite all of the sins of America, both at home and abroad, that there is no place in the entire world where the remnant church in this terrible time of eclipse so thrives, enjoys so much liberty, so that Catholics throughout the world should look to us, and rightly so, for assistance. Today's collect provides us then a kind of a little catechism of providence and a ready answer to the question of evil and of suffering, if we understand it properly. There was a great spiritual writer, I think he was a Passionist father in the last century, his name Father Edward Lean, and he wrote a book called Why the Cross, pointing out that our Lord came to this earth not primarily to banish what people see as evil, pain, death, suffering, but what God sees as evil. This is a great line. The gospel is not a record of a more or less successful philanthropic mission. If Christians think religion is to provide us with good things and banish evil things the way fallen man would see the subject, why then life would make no sense. The mystery of pain would not have a solution. There would be no answer to explain how a good and a kind God could permit suffering, not only for the guilty, but also for the innocent. The only way is to see it through our Lord's eyes. And I'm thinking that a lifetime of seeing suffering should do just this for us, and that surely your eyes are the key to peace of heart. But pain, but suffering, that's not the real source of human unhappiness. Trace it back. It is sin, always sin. May God remove its evil today and grant us all that we need for the future. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.